Welcome back to the Florida Roundup on WLRN. I'm Christine DiMatte. This week, American Airlines became the second major U.S. airline to add regular flights to Cuba since the Obama administration moved to relax travel restrictions between the two countries.
Al aeropuerto de Jaime González Cienfuegos. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. American Airlines welcomes you to Cienfuegos.
We're going to be hearing that a lot. The promise of the U.S. Department of Transportation is that 110 daily flights operated by U.S. carriers are due to begin flying to the communist island. But will they allow Cuba's failing economy to get off the ground? With us in the studio is WLRN Latin America correspondent Tim Padgett, my wingman. It's only appropriate I have my Cuba wingman with me, right?
And I love that role.
Joining us by phone is CNN Havana correspondent Patrick Ottman. Patrick, it's great to have you on. Patrick, you with us?
Yes, I am, and thanks for having us on.
Oh, it's, you know, and I finally get to say, Patrick, our man in Havana. I've been waiting to say that all my broadcast life.
Okay. We almost need mojitos in our hands.
All right.
You've been living in Havana, Patrick, with your family for 4 years, am I right?
That's correct.
Now, these days, when you walk the streets there on any given day, how many Americans are you bumping into as opposed to before December 17th, 2014?
Before, you saw a few, and there might be in these big people-to-people educational tours, or they're very conspicuous, but it was pretty rare. And a lot of Americans had come through third countries and were running the risk still of fines. Now they just seem to be everywhere. And certainly with direct flights, it's just going to make it so much easier. The idea that you can go on JetBlue or American Airlines or any of those other airlines, many airlines will be flying here, and book directly, it really will be a game changer, because it was just so difficult to come here before, even with the charter services. And I'll say leaving here wasn't much easier. You have to go and wait in line. The computer would go down because you're dealing with a Cuban state company that would sell you the tickets on these airlines. And so now that either coming to Cuba or leaving to Cuba, you can book online, even in Cuba where there's not that much internet access, it really will improve service. And we've already seen a huge drop in the cost of flights.
Yeah, it's something to consider that in terms of ease of travel, this has been a country that's been pretty much closed off to us for 55 years. I mean, in terms of ease of travel. Now, Tim, your Latin America report this week was about the fact that beneath all the cheering, the flag waving, the goodwill and high hopes, I hate to be a party pooper here, but there is a grim economic reality in Cuba. Part of it has to do with Venezuela. So what is happening?
Well, it's not as bad as the so-called special period of the 1990s, you know, when Cuba lost its all of its Soviet aid. So, you know, we can't say the Cuban government is on the verge of collapse. The Cuban government always finds a way to survive. But because the Venezuelan economy has collapsed, it can no longer afford to sell much discounted oil to Cuba, for example. So Cuba's had to cut fuel and energy consumption there by a third. Is that correct, Patrick?
That's correct. And we're already seeing less cars on the road. We haven't seen blackouts like you saw in the special period, but there really is a sense of trepidation about what this is going to mean for the island, and tourism isn't going to fill that gap.
But it still means a lot less economic activity on a communist island that's not exactly known for robust economic activity. So really, it's a good thing, you know, that more Americans are flying in. And let's be clear, more Americans, you know, flying into Cuba is a good thing. Keeping Americans out of Cuba for a half century did nothing, you know, to change Cuba. So let's just be clear about that. But my main concern here is that while we're all being so giddy about Carnival cruises and JetBlue, you know, ferrying Americans into Cuba, we're paying less attention to a far more important situation, which is Cuba's economic crisis threatens one of the main goals of our normalization policy, which is the growth of independent entrepreneurs in Cuba, not just because of the island's financial emergency, but because when Cuba's leadership has its back against the wall like this, it often retrenches. Instead of opening up to more free market reform,
it's
going to dig in its heels. So instead of opening up to more free enterprise to help alleviate the crisis in the first place, it's more likely to pull back because it doesn't want to admit that its economic system doesn't work.
Patrick, what's your view on that? What's your position on that?
You know, you see it both ways, because sometimes when a door closes, they've got to look for oxygen from somewhere else. So when the Soviet Union collapsed, that's when we started to see opening up to private, having private restaurants, people renting their houses out. And then when Venezuela came in, when Hugo Chavez shared some of his oil wealth with Cuba, that's when some of the reforms seemed to slow down. So it's always a sense of two steps forward or one or two steps back.
Yeah.
This is a government that does not want to open up the economy. They're not doing this because they want to. They're doing this because they have to. And I think people here are not so much excited about Americans coming as Cuban-Americans coming. Of course, Cuban-Americans have been coming here for years, but with these new flights, prices half of what they used to be, that it stands to reason that more Cuban-Americans will come, and they will come with money for their relatives,
yeah.
items you can't get on the island. And already, you know, there's a service here we call the Mules, where you call somebody up and something that you want in the United States can be here for a price tomorrow. And those people who travel back and forth almost every day, their business is really going to be booming because there will be more flights, and they'll be bringing in all these items that we just cannot get any other way here.
And
yeah.
there are people who agree that this is a fantastic thing, and there are people who think it's not all that great at all. And we'd like to hear from both sides. Reach out to our listeners one last time. The number to call is 800-743-9576. If you've got a question for Patrick or Tim. And Tim, I think there is a bit of a disconnect. A lot of Americans think that just because, you know, you're going there, that there's going to be some sort of free market epiphany, that just the power of the incoming turistas, or turistos,
yeah.
you correct me.
Turistas. Yes.
Is enough to just have a free market awakening. And it's not, is it?
No, I mean, it has a psychological effect, even if it doesn't have much of a financial effect. It does have a psychological effect, though. I mean, the more Americans, as I was pointing out before, the more Americans you have pouring in, to Cuba, the more they bring with them this I guess, for lack of a better word, philosophy that free market enterprise is, you know, the way to go. And you see, you know, the big question is, to what extent can they mingle with regular Cubans and sort of bring that mindset to the island? And again, Patrick would be a better judge of how you know, that mingling with regular Cubans is improving or not.
Right. And, I, you know, let's be clear here. I think it's important to note, we said turistas, you know, it's still illegal for Americans to go to Cuba purely as tourists. Not allowed. You have to fit one of, what is it, 12 travel categories?
12 categories.
And
right.
None of them is tourists. So, Patrick, what are most American tourists, travelers there, categorizing themselves as, the ones that you've been bumping into?
Well, as Tim knows, this is the land of contradiction. So on Sunday, we'll have the first American Airlines flight to Varadero, Cuba. And there is nothing else to do in Varadero, Cuba, but go to the beach.
Yeah.
So to say that Americans aren't coming here for tourism is not accurate. Yes, you're not supposed to be coming here to go to the beaches and drink mojitos. You're supposed to be coming here to help improve U.S.-Cuban relations. But to have flights to Varadero or to Cayo Largo, which is another big tourist destination, I think certainly the Obama administration knows that many Americans will be coming here. And whether they're learning about Cuba at a salsa class or by going to university or talking to Cubans on the street, there'll be some tourism as well, and they seem to be okay with that because there's really no way to police that, and they clearly have decided that this is better than the previous policy, which is that Americans couldn't come to Cuba, really the only country in the world where our government said you couldn't go there because that's trading with the enemy. So
right.
While there are still prohibitions, they've almost been relaxed to the point now where, yes, you have to go to the airport and check a box, but it's not like the old days where you really worried that you could get a huge fine or have your passport pulled away. And the Cuban government isn't doing this because, they want to. It's because they need the money, and the U.S. market is the closest, and we expect to see a huge number of Americans to start coming here now that it's so much easier.
And once again, we'd like to hear from our listeners. Do you think this is a good thing? Do you think it's a rotten thing? Do you think it's not going to make any difference at all? Will it make a difference in Cuba's economy? The number to call is 800-743-9576. Now, this is for both of you. Right after the first commercial flights departed, that was JetBlue, Mm-hmm. Cuban-born author Carlos Serra told NPR that he feels that things have gotten worse for Cubans since 17 December 2014. He told the interviewer, quote, every dollar, every euro that a tourist spends in Cuba goes straight into the pockets of the military junta that runs the place. The money does not trickle down. Patrick, can you comment on that?
Yes, I wouldn't agree. And Carlos Serra has written a series of beautiful books that are must reads for anyone who wants to understand Cuba and understand that period. But like a lot of Cubans, has not come back to the island in 50 years, does not want to come back, he says, while the Castros are in power. And he perhaps doesn't see what's happening now, which is, yes, Americans are coming a lot. And it's not just Americans. The Europeans are racing to get here before the Americans come, as they say. And, of course, that's too late. So we're seeing a boom in tourism, and the Cuban government can't meet that boom because the economy here is so inefficient. There aren't enough rental cars. There aren't enough state-run hotels. So certainly it's a huge benefit to the government to have so many tourists. But there's a spillover effect. Well, we're seeing all across Old Havana, where I am right now, people are opening up their homes for Americans to stay in them. Some of them are booked for months. The best restaurants are private homes because the government is so inefficient, cannot run restaurants or hotels particularly well. Cubans are stepping into that vacuum, and because it takes, you know, by my count, the government here to open, it takes them about 10 years to open up a hotel, people are racing to get their homes ready, and they're finding that as soon as they do get them ready, get them up on Airbnb, that they'll be rented for months. So whether you're pro-government, anti-government, or just in between, the people who are doing these things are making a lot of money.
Right. And in a moment, we're going to hear from a traveler from Boca Raton who's been to Cuba a lot. But first, Tim, you wanted to say something about Carlos Ayer's comment.
Well, I would agree with Patrick on the first level. I mean, I think Mr. Ayer's wrong on two levels. Mm-hmm. One, the point that, that Patrick just made about the fact that there are many, many ways that U.S. tourists can circumvent that situation of dropping your bucks into the Cuban government's coffers. For example, we've got new travel agencies cropping up here in Miami, for example. One's called Discover Cuba. And what it does is it directs U.S. tourists toward ways that they can get around government tourism and put their money more into those independent tourism sites. And the other point I would make, I think what Mr. Hare was trying to say was that normalization is the cause of Cubans' lives getting worse. That's not the cause. The cause is, as I said before, Venezuela's economic collapse.
Okay. On the line, we've got Mike from Boca Raton. He says he's been to Cuba a lot. He thinks this is great. Mike, you're on the air.
Yeah. My name is Mike from Boca. I just came back from Cuba with Labor Day weekend.
You did?
I'm an attorney in Boca, and I was born in Cuba and came over in 59. My dad was an attorney in Cuba, and I fit into one of the categories of doing professional research, which means you've got to keep more or less a full schedule of meetings and something that's that.
Okay, but Mike, do they check up on you? You say you have to keep a full...
Not really.
They don't?
Not really.
Right.
I just, in an overabundance of caution, I keep my own log of the meetings and what I do. And, you know, if I go to the University of Havana Law School, I definitely keep track of what I look up. I go to a law library and so on. But, you know, you'd always have a chance to look around. You know, you saw a lot of Americans. And as you said earlier, there were fewer cars on the road. There were no traffic jams because the driver that I got, we were out at 4, 5, 6 o'clock, and there were no traffic jams in the middle of Havana.
So, Mike, in general, pretty much you're loving it, right?
Yes,
okay.
It was a great trip. The times I went during the Bush administration, things were totally different. The Department of Treasury was very strict in granting the licenses. Now it's pretty much open, and I think it's a great thing.
Great. Mike, thank you for your call. Okay, sure. Things have changed a lot, Tim, Patrick. And, things are still changing. Does Cuba have the infrastructure to withstand this, I don't know, what to call it, beneficial invasion?
Well, I think Patrick could agree on most levels, no. It does not have the hotel infrastructure at this point to accommodate the rush of Americans that are coming in. Would you agree, Patrick?
Absolutely. And you see that with tourists are coming to hotels and they find out they don't have their reservation. There aren't enough restaurants. You cannot get a rental car here for your life. So it does become tricky where you wonder, How are they going to meet the demand? We've already seen in a year the number of Americans double, and it keeps going like that. And that's perhaps why they are reaching out to cruise ship companies that can come in and bring all their food and of course, lodgings with them. But as well, that's why we've seen this wave of Cubans fixing up their homes to rent them out, because the government can't meet the demand, and someone will have to.
Okay, Patrick, we're going to have to say goodbye pretty soon. One last question for you. In the piece that the CNN piece that you published this week, you ended with these words: "You hope that Americans will also show Cubans the best of what we have to offer. They have been waiting a long time to meet us." So when you say the best of what we have to offer, is that kind of a fear about the ugly American?
Well, I think, you know, there's almost an innocence here where when I came here in the 90s, for about the first hour or two, I said I was Canadian because I thought perhaps there would be bad blood after all these years of Cold War. And I realized that Cubans, despite everything, all the propaganda over the years, love Americans. They love our culture. They love our music. Everyone, almost everyone, has relatives in the U.S. And so there's this excitement that still persists to this day of, oh, my gosh, there's an American. I want to hug you or shake your hand. And I think we have to live up to that excitement and show them the best about our culture. And certainly when you see $50 one-way tickets to Cuba, you know, there's some fear that this will just become another Caribbean spring break destination with Che Guevara posters in the background. And I think this is a unique moment for Americans and Cubans to kind of get around the politics of our government to really connect in a way that certainly Cubans are eager to do.
It surely is. Patrick Ottman, CNN correspondent in Havana. And that's all the time we have left for today's Florida Roundup. The Florida Roundup is produced by Bridget O'Brien and Alicia Zuckerman. Our technical director is Jason Zapka. Our news director is Terrence Shepard. WLRN's program director is Peter J. Mayers. Thanks to all our callers. Thanks for listening. Please stay tuned for Decision Florida, which you will be hearing each Friday at 1 p.m. for the next 10 weeks in the run-up to the November election. That hour-long show will be hosted by WLRN's own Tom Hudson. I'm Christine DiMatte. Have a great weekend.